And a good morning to you. This is the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. You can reach us at 434-1790. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB. Remember, send a WhatsApp message. We are unable to take WhatsApp calls at the moment. Or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. John Stout is taking care of things technical this morning, and Dennis Johnson. And we will be with you until 1 o'clock. Last night when I sat trying to prepare for today's program, I wanted to have a look at our governance structures, the report of the Auditor General and the changes being made to our board's statutory organizations and other changes in the governance structure of our country. But while I was preparing for this, I got a call from one of our sales reps, Alison Roach, and she told me about the death of a member of staff of one of the organizations that is very supportive of things we do here at Starcom Network, and that's SY Adam and Son. So at the start of the program, I'd like to extend my condolences to the management, the staff, the friends and family of the lady who died last night, who was a member of staff at SY Adam. I'm told that they're taking the loss very hard because she was more than just a staff member. She was like family. But it tied in nicely, in a strange sort of way, with what I wanted to focus on. And this is a question of the selection of staff and how we treat those who we put into positions of responsibility. Sometime prior to the 2008 general election, one of our regular callers, I haven't heard him since this last election, was making a contribution. It suggested that whenever there was a change of government, there should be a change in some of the key personnel on the island. And he talked about people like the Director of Public Prosecution, the Chief Justice, Commissioner of Police. I disagreed then. I still disagree now. Boards, I agree with, should be changed because boards are supposed to carry out the directives and the mandate of the government. And the directives and the mandate will change depending on the minister's priorities or even the government's priorities when there's a change in government or a change in minister. But the key functionaries, the chief executive officer, the chief financial officer, the various persons in management positions should be chosen based on their competence and, more importantly, their integrity, especially when dealing with public finances. And therefore, it doesn't matter who the board chairman is or who's the prime minister or even the minister of finance, their job should be to execute the mandates and the directives in a professional manner and a manner that is above reproach because it is their reputations on the line. And should you get to a stage where the directive of the minister, the chairman of the board, or whomever runs counter to your professional training and your integrity, you write a very short letter and sign your name at the bottom. It worries me when people in key positions who should be in those positions because of their competence, their integrity, and their qualifications seem not to have their contribution recognized in that manner. And if we've reached the stage where we've so politicized our institutions that coming down the line to chief financial officers and chief executive officers and chief operating officers are simply appointees who are there to frustrate or to carry out the wishes of a political directorate, then we're in a lot of trouble. Because our problem is not only financial, it is also moral and ethical. And the loss of this particular staff member and how it is reflected at the management level underlines the fact that even though they may not have been family, that their contribution to the organization was so appreciated by those who selected them that it feels as though they've lost a member of their family. And it says a lot about the individual and the company with which she worked. And may we all get to the stage where our contributions are viewed in that light, for competence, for professionalism, and the manner in which we execute our duties, irrespective of what the political directorate or who the political directorate is. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Hello, good morning, Dennis.
What's up, my friend?
I'll go ahead, yeah, but don't worry about it. My head big, so it would take
There's a big headache.
No, it's a big head.
A small headache and a big head. Okay, no problem. You're lucky. It affects the whole head.
Right.
I want to,
in the interest of time, I just want to go through my items. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of them, if you care
to comment, no problem.
Uh-huh. Right. First thing, pedestrian crossing. There's a crossing outside the Ministry of Public Works, which I feel is the flagship, the ministry that is, of traffic. There's a lot lacking at that crossing. Since that crossing has been painted, there have been a lot of near misses. I spoke to the minister recently. I told him about it. I guess you are familiar with the crossings at the back and in front of the hospital.
It's one of the areas where I think between the two roundabouts, there are no less than five crossings between those two roundabouts on either end of the QEH.
Yeah, and how when you're approaching the crossing at the St. Michael and how you can see that sign from a great distance,
mm-hmm.
I think that is what is needed at MTW and also outside the Parkinson Memorial Secondary School. Traffic mirrors. You know when you leave Grand Island's airport, going east, when you make that left turn at that junction that will carry you to Six Roads,
mm-hmm.
when you are exiting from that turn or coming from Six Roads, there's a great need for a mirror there or mirrors. That when you are coming from Six Roads end, you have to actually go in the road before you can see traffic coming to you from Penny Hole. Something need to be done. Also, there's a lady, I'm going to call her names, who resides in Paramore Village, who has written the ministry about having a mirror outside her entrance and also that of her neighbor. It is a very dangerous situation. Very dangerous. And the quicker it is done, the better. At the time that I was told there were no mirrors, I accepted that. If there is no mirrors, you need to get in contact with that lady and explain to her that there's no mirrors as yet, rather than not to correspond with her. PR is lacking in that case. Mm-hmm. Very much so, too. And my final contribution, ministers of government. If a minister is allowed to speak in Parliament for an hour, I personally would like him to spend at least 45 minutes talking about what goes on in his ministry, rather than spend a lot of time talking about what's going on in another fellow in our ministry, talk about yours. The only minister that I feel should cover all ministries is, of course, the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance.
No, but sir, hold on a second. That one I have to respond to in this manner. If the matter before the House concerns financing of buses or financing of garbage trucks, the Member of Parliament may speak about how the lack of garbage trucks or the lack of buses affects his constituents, but he should speak on the matter of the acquisition of that's before the House. Not about his minister. Not about his ministry per se. So it depends on what they're discussing. Now, I agree that it's an opportunity for him to zero in on how it affects his constituents, because, of course, they would consider that representation. So if he says, in my constituency, we suffer from a lack of buses or a polyclinic in the area or whatever that they happen to be discussing, yes. But if the matter at hand is about garbage collection, then that's what you should speak about. Right. What I find, though, and this is what this is what sometimes I turns me off. There are people who seem to be stretching to talk for 30 minutes. 30 minutes ain't easy, you know. People feel that, you know, you could sit down here and talk for 4 hours because, you know, you ain't got nothing to do. You ain't got nothing in your head. I invite anybody to sit down here and talk for 5 hours, you know, and sit down and watch what happens. Some people say, you know, I could talk for a minute. 30 seconds after, they're scrambling. You know, there are people who pay for 15 minutes and can't talk for 15 minutes. So I find sometimes that people who want to talk for 30 minutes should really say, you know what, Mr. Speaker, I only need 10. I really ain't talking for 30 minutes because they just go on and on. Yeah.
As I always say, do this. Ideas can be expanded.
Of course they can. Of course they can. Yep. And people always see angles that they don't see, that we don't see sometimes. Sometimes we sit down and think it's perfectly easy or, you know, this is how it should be done. And then when the people behind the scenes start telling you some of the challenges, you go, oh, okay. Well, you know, I didn't think of that. Good to hear you, sir. Be good.
Before you go, I would really like what I mentioned yesterday about the elderly and.
You mean the support for them? Yeah, look, I would like there are mechanisms, you know, sir. But here's the challenge. Eh? Two challenges. Challenge number one is this. The people, and it goes back to where I started, so perhaps I'll say it again. It depends on the people we put into certain positions. Anyone who deals with the plight or the concerns of people who are either elderly, have various disabilities, or find themselves in a stressful or a position of distress, have to be people of impeccable character. They must be understanding and must be able to empathize. If somebody comes to you and say, I am having a problem because, your attitude cannot be, what are you burdening me with this for? I got problems of my own. If that is the attitude, I'm not saying that's what you say. It is the attitude, because the person comes to you feeling hurt and less than a human being. So you can't put them into a difficult position, one. Two, the support you give them should not allow them to be exploited by somebody else. And I want to repeat that, because sometimes I know out of your desire to be kind to people, you would say, I remember you mentioning the young lady with the three children, and you say she should have shelter. If a young lady has three children and no means of income, and you give her a three-bedroom, two-bathroom house, you are opening her to exploitation, because she has no way of supporting herself. So the first person who comes along and say, I can help you with the children, I spend the night here, ends up in a position, she says yes, and then the person put her out next week. Because they have the power to put her out, they have the finances, and she ain't doing what they want them to do. So lady and three children back on the street. It happens too often. So sometimes in our quest to be kind, we put people in vulnerable positions. So we have to watch how we give them the support, how they get the support, and make sure that it is not exploited. Because the grandchild gonna come, the grandchild and four children gonna come, the grandchild, the boyfriend, and the boyfriend, other woman, and then next thing the water bill is $2,000 because they're wasting the old lady water because she's getting it for free. Or she's getting it at a subsidized price. That's the problem. Good to hear you, sir. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you, because you're touching the very raw nerve. It's something I ask the people of this country to pay some attention to.
Mm-hmm.
This is the question about people who manage things and people who oversee the accounts of various organizations.
Mm-hmm.
I am predicting that this government is going to fail if it doesn't take some corrective action, and if it is allowed, if it allows the situation to continue as it is, where an outgoing government can leave their baggage in place,
yep,
and to hamstring the government that is coming in. What I'm talking about, on the front page of the Sunday Sun, I believe you might have read it, there was a very disturbing article about premature contracts being awarded.
Yes,
and I mean, it is fairly clear to all but the very ignorant why these things were done. And if it is that these people were so invaluable, then they need not have done that because they would have continued in their jobs. But, I mean, it leaves a lot of questions for people to ask. And the other matter that I want to talk about whilst dealing with this, I would ask that the people who come on this program not pronounce that, oh, this is perfectly legal to do this and do that, unless they are experts. I heard this on this program where it was being said that it was perfectly legal for these contracts to be awarded even after Parliament had been terminated and elections were being called. I think the only people who can give a definitive statement as to legality is the people who reside in the law courts of Barbados, no one else. And unless these persons who have made those statements had seen the contracts and were legal experts and could present arguments to Barbadians, then I think they should not come and try to tell people it is legal, so we must continue with this.
I don't think they wanted to say that you should continue with it. I think they were trying to guard against suggesting that the actions were illegal because it could result in lawsuits from people who say, you know what, you accuse me of an illegality. I think that was the reason for it, more so than saying we should continue with it. That's just my reading of it.
Yeah, but don't say it's legal either. Because
I agree with that. If you don't know the issue of legality or illegality, don't make a pronouncement on it. I take that point, sir. Yep.
Yeah, one thing that we all can agree on, that it was immoral, this is something I had noticed when we went into that no man's period, and I predicted it is going to have a serious impact on the ability of the new government to conduct its business. Mm-hmm. Now, if the government is going to just allow this to go and let sleeping dogs lie, they, when they can't produce the results they say we want them to produce, or they say they're going to produce, we will still have to hold them accountable. So I am hoping that sincerely someone looks at this, comes back to us, if they have determined through the law courts or whatever mechanism that these things are legal, but they're immoral. If they're immoral, then the persons who were involved in the immorality should be exposed to public scrutiny. That is something I think that is mandatory, because very soon from now, Mr. Dennis, the poor people, and I stress that, the poor people of this country are going to be asked to bear the burden of the extravagance of the past. And I think we cannot and should not continue in this way. It's a new day, and we have to take firm action.
So I have to tell you, I am supportive of what you've said from two different perspectives, and that's why I started the program on the note in which I did. If we get to the stage where we appoint people in positions because they're friends, relatives, and party supporters, and every time there's a change of government, we have this situation where people's contracts are extended or the terms and conditions of their contract are altered in such a way that to remove them from the position is going to cost the Treasury hundreds of thousands of dollars. Every 5-10 years, however long is the period that the party is in office, the country is going to have to look for hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to pay people to go home and do nothing. This is, you know, or to be tainted forever by the brush of you were appointed and disappointed because you're the minister friend. So we have two scarce human resources. I mean, we have less than 500,000 people in this country. We're going to run through a whole set of talented, educated, and people with morals and ethics because we choose to besmirch their character, or they allow their characters to be besmirched by political affiliation. We can't afford it, sir. That is a burden too great to bear. And neither the IAB, the IADB, the CDB, the IMF, or any other string of initials will be able to change it. Your reputation, once damaged, cannot be altered by $150,000 or even $250,000. So there was a pilot with BWI who, in Trinidad and Tobago, a government minister at the time stood up and waved a manila folder in Parliament and said that the person was a drunkard. They had to leave Trinidad and go and fly from one airport in Australia or somewhere to the other to earn a living, because that was forever hanging over his character. It caused all sorts of strife and turmoil in that airline because of a minister's actions in Parliament, waving a folder around. When I sit and I have a chronic non-communicable disease, let me state up front, and I hear people, lawyers, a lawyer was the last one to say, oh, doctors giving people sick leave and frustrating us, and you wonder if they don't. If I said that by a lawyer, about a lawyer, I'd be sued. And for professional people to make these kinds of pronouncements and nobody says anything worries me. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm not saying they're not people who deal in an unethical manner. I am saying when you make those kinds of blanket statements about an entire profession, you are doing a disservice to your profession and to theirs. And our political directorate have been tarnished, and the people that they appoint to boards have been tarnished by their actions.
What I think, you know, Mr. Dennis, is that all of these corporations that are causing such distress by not producing financial statements and so on, all of the heads of those corporations and the financial controllers should put their resignations at the disposal of the new government.
Mm-hmm.
If they're good, they can be reappointed.
Exactly.
But I don't think that we should, you know, all this years before a contract is coming to an end, that you should reappoint people.
I agree, sir. I agree totally. I agree totally.
The people who acknowledge and benefit from these things should see it too. Their reputations are at stake, because
exactly
forevermore.
My point. Yep. You will be seen as somebody's puppet.
Exactly.
Yep.
Anyhow, thank you very much.
Pleasure talking to you as well.
Some more ventilation of this matter. Thank you.
Absolutely. This is Dr. Brastax. Brastax, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Yes, a couple of things there. The definition of morals, it would be defined of the classification of the groups or groups that make a society. In other words, what might be morally wrong for you might be correct for another group. And let's draw an example, a perfect example here. The churches in Barbados are split over this LGBT decision that they want they want equal rights. Nobody in the world has the justification or can really argue against that. But the churches in Barbados, some of them, have a problem with the people is pushing their agenda. No, there are other groups in Barbados who will find nothing wrong with it. So the last call you had is just no. Unless he could prove that if I'm in government and on my last days out, I sign a contract for you to for the next 5 years, it's legally wrong, then you have a point.
Sir.
Yes, sir. I'm listening.
Morality cannot be changed depending on what your private thoughts are or what the thoughts of your private group is. Morality is defined broadly across a spectrum by society in general. In other words, if you believe what you believe and you want to make it the rule of where you are in your little fiefdom, that's your business. It does not change what morality is. It changes your perception or your creed or how you want it defined where you are. You cannot put it on me. So, if there is something called morality in government or morality in the affairs of state, then unless you are the king and you want to decree in your little fiefdom that it is all right to do X, Y, or Z, then you could do it. But if somebody outside says, I believe your practices are immoral and therefore I will not engage with you, they will be basing it on a wider perception. Let me say this to you, sir. You are trying to draw two completely different references. When you talk about churches, okay, in my humble estimation, churches have strayed from a position of doctrine and morality into a position of what is comfortable for them or their congregation. That's my feeling, okay? And the reason for this is this. If you look at their teachings, if you look at what they say, you can always determine when they're changing the script to suit the times. And I know you could do that because you're an intelligent person, sir.
But let's look at what Paul said.
Sir, don't do that. Don't do that.
Okay.
Don't
do
that.
Let me go on to my other point.
Don't do that, yes.
Let me go on to my other point.
Yeah, please.
Yes. The boards, the various boards. Mm-hmm. I have noticed that when I write the newspaper.
Here's the first thing you do that's wrong, and I hope John cuts out that piece of nonsense. I worked at the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation under the lady in question. John, take that call out. Finish with it. Because he cast an aspersions on people's character, and I'll correct it, and then we will leave it there. I worked at the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation under the general manager that is now the chairman of the board. And when she left there, the finances of that corporation were in top-notch condition. I know, because I worked there. And that's all I will say on that subject. Sir, the nonsense you keep trying to do is not right. And I keep telling you, the problem, and people tell me I'm being disrespectful to you, but I'll deal with the people who tell me so. The problem I have with you, sir, is that you're intelligent enough to know what you're doing. And you're coming on my job to make it difficult for me to do my job properly. And it is not right. It is not right, sir. For whatever purpose you're doing it, it is not right. Do not make them kinds of statements. 4341790. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Yes, this is your friend, VJ.
Yes, sir.
Yes, you know, I always call you DJ.
Yeah, I know. It's a good thing you don't call me DF, because my sisters tell me don't mean dear friend. Yeah, tell me.
Yeah, I have some water problems this morning.
Oh, where are you?
Before I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
But before I do that, I want to pass on condolences to the family of the lady from S.Y. Adams.
Yeah.
She's a... And to the store's family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. My problem is at Trent's.
Mm-hmm.
In Trent's Drive, just when you go across from St. James Primary School. Where my daughter and her children reside.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on Sunday, some person tied a cow. And it not only cracked the meter and pulled away the
meter off the main.
Right.
Yeah.
Cracked the pipe leading into the, you know, to the house.
Uh-huh.
And it was reported to the water authority.
Uh-huh.
But I was trying to get through to Miss Haig also.
Right.
So to give her a response, because you know what it is for persons to be living in a house and can't get water.
Yeah.
So I'm appealing to mistakes to send, you know, to respond. Right. I have done it for other people,
mm-hmm.
and she responded roughly.
They usually respond very quickly to those types of calls,
yeah.
especially. So you know the problem that we have with animals getting loose and breaking mains and ripping up pipes is a serious one.
That didn't get loose.
It was tight close to it.
You know?
That's even worse.
Hide it there.
That's even worse. Yeah.
And we called a plumber.
Yeah.
And he did what his best he could.
Could. Yeah.
But it's still
reeking.
Both on the government side.
And on your side.
You know? And no water goes into the house.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I hope they're listening. Yeah.
Okay.
Really.
And it is.
Just repeat that address again.
Trent's Drive,
mm-hmm.
just before you get to the White Junction,
right?
Right near to Petoro Garden.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you very much as well, sir. Be good. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Morning, Dennis.
Hi. What's
Roger,
up?
Roger, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I like to listen to your program, but I know that when I say certain things, even if they come over wrong, you will not interpret them wrong. So, for a person who has, you call it a challenge or condition?
Well, I call it a challenge. It's okay. Listed as a condition, but for me, okay. It's a challenge. For some people, it's more than a challenge.
Right. For a person who has a challenge, right? Mm-hmm. I find that you have the patience of Job. You see, the caller before Vijay just now. Last week, you did a chronology of all of the crap that he pontificated before the election. How many different parties he led, who was going to win what, and all that. And I wonder at times if he listens to himself or if he just wants people to hear him. I mean, the program, as far as I'm concerned, should be used to educate and inform. But the crap that I keep hearing every week sometimes make me turn off the radio and forget to turn it back on. I mean, it's time that people recognize, man, that they're sometimes frustrated at a caller. It's really nonsense. And it's repeatedly. So this week is morals. Next week it can be probably the gear gen.
I lost you there for a minute. I hope you get back to me. I was told that someone from the Water Authority wanted the address of the gentleman who had called. It's in Trent's, and it's by the Y Junction, he said. So if you go into the area, I'm sure they'll be looking for your truck since they are having a problem, and I hope they can get it. I hope you can get it mended, because if it's leaking on both sides, it means and water's not getting to the house at all. And since Sunday, he said, today is Tuesday, so I think they're a little distressed. Brass Tacks, I hope my caller gets back to me if we can get him back. The WhatsApp message says, I'm a non-resident Bajor. I want to highlight something that may hasten the demise of VOB. Journalism thrives when chaos is present. And now that the scourge of the DLP is gone, VOB should resort to the basics. If they do not, their standards, meaning invest in quality moderators, VOB will sink lower. I'm not sure what the caller is driving at, because as far as I know, the station still has the moderators who were there for a while. Peter is still here. He's just away on vacation. Corey is still here. He's also taking a break. David is still here. We have Lisa, who's joined us, and she's there as well. Sanka, not sure. There may be a few that David has in mind. Perhaps I'm on my way out too. Brass Tacks, good.
Yeah, then I
yes, you were saying, sorry, yes.
Yeah, I'm just confused sometimes that. And it seems to go in sequence over a 5-year period. So you've got one particular caller who will, I mean, it becomes frustrating though. And I applaud how you dealt with him last week, because it is becoming frustrating to the point that people will turn off their radio. And like I said, they want to listen to the program, but then you get caught up and forget to turn it back on. He's confusing the program. Bring something that is informative and educational that people want to hear, not the same nonsense over and over.
Sir, there are people who, I think, thanks for making the comment, there are people who believe that what they're doing and what they're saying is important, and they're doing it out of a sense of engaging the public. I think sometimes there are people who like to pick on certain moderators, perhaps to see if they can get them rattled. I don't know if they get a particular thrill out of doing it. They change their style depending on who's there. And I know, you know, there are times that I respond, and there are times when I let it go over my shoulder. I believe, however, that one of the things I should try to do is always to make sure that the public understands what the issues are, and that they remain focused on what our issue is. We have issues in this country that need to be fixed, and we can't just continue to make everything a political issue and say, well, I believe this because this party is in, and I don't longer do that because that party is in. We need to get beyond that.